This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. I'm Lee Chui Lin. This is Inside Story. Tonight is the final episode of our month-long deep dive into the National Education Blueprint. Today, we're talking about national identity and the role that schools play in this. So first, how is identity actually discussed and instilled in schools, especially with the different streams in our country? And then, what could it look like in the future? How should our education system work towards building a national identity? We want to hear from you. Are schools doing enough to foster national identity? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is coming up to 6:11, and as mentioned, we've been talking about the Malaysia Education Blueprint 2013 to 2025, basically all month. And this is the last of the four shows. And today we wanted to focus on identity, because one of the targets of the blueprints is to build an education system that gives children an appreciation for our unique identity as Malaysians. And it defines national identity, I'm quoting the blueprint, as an unshakable sense tied to the principles of Rukun Negara, and it's necessary for Malaysia's success and future. Every child will be proudly identified as a Malaysian, irrespective of ethnicity, religion, socioeconomic status. Achieving this patriotism requires that every child understands the country's history and shares common aspirations for the future. Establishing a true national identity also requires a strong sense of inclusiveness, which can be achieved through the understanding and embracing of diversity. So that's where it stands as far as the blueprint goes. I think what we want to do today, though, is actually look at how that translates on the ground, in schools, in curriculum, in activities. And it's more relevant now than ever because the Prime Minister has recently introduced the theme of Keluarga Malaysia for this current administration, talking about having a spirit of integrity, creating a society that appreciates inclusiveness, togetherness, and gratitude. So it's all of a piece, and it's, well, no better time than the present to look at how it is that we're doing on ground. I think whenever it is that we talk about unity, identity, you will always hear somebody say it starts at schools, or it's schools play a huge role. So with that in mind then, what do we need to do? After this, we're going to be diving into how things are at the moment, where the schools are doing enough, and essentially what things are like on the ground. And joining us for that will be Dr. Mazli Malik, former Education Minister, current MP for Simpang Renggam. In the meantime, we'd like to hear from you, though. Are schools doing enough to build national identity? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Today, we are talking about national identity in our schools. This is in the context of it being one of the targets within our national education blueprint. Now, joining us to give us a perspective on what things are like in schools and basically perhaps some gaps, we are speaking to Dr. Mazli Malik, former Education Minister and current MP for Simpang Renggam. Again, we're asking you, are schools doing enough to build national identity? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, Dr. Mazli, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, hi, Lynn. Thank you for inviting me to BFM.
So I wanted to start by asking, when we talk about instilling national identity in our students, what does that actually mean to you?
Yeah, it means that all the citizens must try to understand that we are all Malaysians. We belong to the same land that we live together, despite of differences that we have. But we try to live together as one big family, or as I hate to use that, I hate to use that jargon, but I mean, to live as one big nation, embracing each other and living with a life that is full of love, happiness, and mutual respect.
So with that in mind then, if we look at how national identity is discussed or taught in schools, what is it like at the moment? I mean, what methods are being used? How effective have these methods been?
I've been listening to your discussion prior our current discourse. I mean, you were saying that national unity or national identity should start at school. I beg to, partly disagree with that. Actually, it starts at home. And now it starts with the media, whether it's social media, whether it's the mainstream media, but it starts at home and the media, and then comes the schools.
And I guess, if we take all those different things, if we take into account all those different factors, what role do you think schools play here?
School plays a very pertinent role in, filtering whatever the children got from the media and what they got from their parents, from their family. School is responsible to give them a more substantive understanding of how to be a good citizen and how to become a true Malaysian.
And because this is something that's supposed to be part of the blueprint, how much of this comes out in intangible forms, meaning things that we can identify in the syllabus, in specific units, and how much of it you think is actually in intangible things, in activities or in the spirit in which our students are taught in schools?
I'm not sure whether you have read my recent book, Memory, Bukan Memoir, that I've translated into English and will come to the bookstores the soonest, if I'm mistaken, by mid-December. I've mentioned in the book, in a chapter, talking about the civic education or pendidikan civic across the curriculum, across the core curriculum. We are trying to instill in and try to inculcate all those values within this civic education. It's not only in one subject called mata pelajaran civic or civic subject, but throughout the syllabus, throughout the curriculums, throughout the core curriculums and extra curriculum, we try to get all the students not only to embrace love and to understand happiness and to try to bring happiness not only to themselves, but to also to others. We also try to instill the most important value within their hearts, which is mutual respect. We tried that and we have launched that in June 2019, but I'm not sure what is the status of that initiative, the civic education. The last time I asked in the parliament, I didn't receive a very good, convincing answer from the ministry. Yeah.
And could you tell us how teachers are actually trained to inculcate national identity in schools? Is this a part of training?
According to what we have planned with that civic education that we launched in June 2019, teachers' training come along with that. But I'm not sure what is the status at the moment. To be honest with you, nobody knows what's happening at school at the moment.
Do you think the diversity...
After the pandemic and, people are wondering, what is next? What is going to happen next? And as you know, the only thing we could hear from the ministry is the closure and the opening of school. And thanks God that awfully they came up with the idea of, in intervention to help the children at the lowest grade to overcome the issue of illiteracy. But thus far, I haven't received any response and any answer from them whenever I ask them in the house about the long-term plan and what more about the civic education. And to be honest with you, I've not been given any updates on those initiatives that we have started earlier in 2019. Yeah.
How important is diversity in our education system, you think, when it comes to the way in which young people form a common sense of national identity?
Diversity is our strength. And I've mentioned that explicitly in my book, Memory, Book and Memoir. That is soon will be already been translated and will be published, and you find it at bookstores in mid-December, there is a specific topic on diversity and on how we need to teach not only the children, but also the teachers and parents and families the very elements of mutual respect, love and happiness.
I have to ask you this because vernacular schools are a perennial topic of conversation when we talk about our education system. They've also been in the news lately. Where do you see them fitting into this conversation around national identity in school?
I would love to give a lot of comments about this hot potatoes issue. But again, I think now it is on trial in the court. I'm not sure whether we can make any comment because that will affect the trial, especially for a person like me as a former Minister of Education. So I've been advised actually by some legal experts not to give any comments at the moment because the trial is still going on, or is still ongoing.
With that said, though, okay, if I could just push not necessarily on that exact issue, but on gaps in general. I think that one of the things that comes up is the fact that we have our national stream. We do, however, also have a variety of other streams, not just vernacular schools, but in general, right? We see different forms of schools in the country. What gaps do you think need bridging? And are there currently efforts underway to bridge those gaps?
I think the major gap that we need to fill in is the gaps of love, happiness and mutual respect. We are lacking of that. I mean, most of our conversation in the media, at home, on our dinner table, I don't think that would be the very topic that we're talking about. I mean, we talk about a lot of things, and trust me, don't trust politicians, even myself, when we talk about all those things, because, I mean, it doesn't sound authentic. You know, it should come from the people. It should come from the grassroots. It should come from the families. We should start with all those discussions about loving each other, how we should impart love within the hearts of our children, not only our children, but within the hearts of every citizen of Malaysia. And we should struggle, we should strive to bring happiness, not only within our circle of influence, but also across the community. I mean, how we could bring happiness to others, to our neighbors, to those unfortunate, those marginalized population, community. So we should instill this kind of mindset and this kind of feeling within the hearts of our citizens. And the most important part is mutual respect. I mean, you know, in media, at home and in school, we should always remind ourselves, be us teachers, be us students, be us whoever we are. We should teach ourselves and others the value, the importance of mutual respect.
You know,
and only by doing those, our diversity will become our strength rather than our weakness, or rather than becoming a point where somebody please stick. Sorry again.
No worries. It's okay. We all have these incidents.
Okay, I thought it only happened with Jacinda Ardern. It happened to me too. Okay, sorry, Elaine. I mean, okay, finally. Okay, so, our diversity would become our strength rather than our weakness, would become the point to unite us rather than divide us. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to pick up.
I'm not sure whether I did answer the question you asked.
No, you did.
Something else came into my mind.
No, you did actually.
Of...
I did want to say though. I mean, as you say, you've been pushing this idea of, you know, having a strong message of love, mutual respect, and having that be communicated at different levels. Now, I do think, however, that while we work towards having a unified message at home in the media at schools, we will find, like you said, home might be a more powerful messenger than what we get at schools. The media might be a more powerful messenger than what you read in books. How then can we strengthen the position that schools and teachers take in saying, no, look, this is the way, this is what we should all be doing?
Just like I mentioned earlier, I mean, these three elements, I mean, I keep calling for these three elements and consistently trying to impose it when I was at the ministry, and it was very unfortunate. Nobody talks about it anymore, although I could still find that those wordings still written on some murals of certain schools, they still keep those words there. But the spirit of it should be there. You know, the spirit of love, the spirit of happiness, and the spirit of, most importantly, mutual respect. You know, this is where the educators, be them teachers, be them the lecturers, be them teaching assistant, or be whoever they are, should first embrace that in their heart and in their daily life. By only doing that, they can impart them to the students. And trust me, how many Malaysian made movies or dramas or songs really addressing this issue, you know, in whatever language, in whatever form. But I mean, we are not talking about that seriously, you know. So when we go back to education, we go back to schools, what do you expect from schools? That is one thing. And number two, sometimes I think we better change our mindset when talking about education, because education all this while been perceived only as a place to get straight A's, to get flying colors, to get the best grades, rather than a place to nurture the potential within every children, and to build good citizens throughout the curriculum and co-curriculum that have been prepared for the children. So we need to change that mindset, especially among the parents, you know, rather than you know, having parents when they see their children come back from school and asking them, oh, what did you get for your exam or your test? Why didn't they start asking them, what have you done kind for, or what kindness have you done to your friends? Have you got new friends? What type of charity have you done? What type of things that your teachers shared with you or your friends shared with you? Did you share your things with your friends? You know, those kind of things. So this is where I think we should emphasis more on civic education throughout the curriculums, throughout the subjects, yeah, rather than only emphasizing.
Dr. Masli, thank you so much for taking the time. I think that was a great spot to end on.
Thank you very much. I thank you guys for giving me this opportunity. And I hope I did understand.
That was Dr. Masli Malik, former education minister, talking to us today on national identity in our schooling system, which is the topic of our show today. And that's the question that we're asking you as well. I mean, are schools doing enough to build national identity? How do you think we're doing on that front? You can let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with your messages after the 6:30 news, where we're also going to be exploring different ways that we could do this and the role of history in the midst of all this. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. And today we are in the final stretch of our look at the National Education Blueprint. And our final episode is focused on national identity. This is because it's actually one of the targets of the blueprint. And we thought it would be a good time to take a look. We're asking you, are schools doing enough to build national identity in your opinion? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have some messages that have come in. So for instance, we have Tash who says, regarding this issue, no, not enough is being done. I'm a volunteer tutor at a public school that has 99% Malay students, and they've gone through most of their school life never interacting with a non-Malay student. I've heard them say things like, sekolah kita memang lemah math sebab tak ada budak Cina, or our school is not great at math because there aren't Chinese kids. I've encountered teachers who are so insensitive when it comes to inclusivity and diversity. My Malay students don't want to be in the same study group with their Indian schoolmates because tak biasa, tak faham, or I'm not used to other people, for example, and not making efforts to remedy that. Also, take a good look at our sejarah textbooks. I'm tutoring Form 5 students, so we focus on sejarah Malaysia, but I feel like I'm eating nails whenever I have to teach these kids. The syllabus is not meant to nurture young future leaders. Ask a Form 5 student the meaning of civic duty. I'd be happy if they can answer bila nak mengundi. And you know, this is exactly, I think, what we were talking about earlier, this idea of trying to create and foster a more comprehensive way of looking at national identity rather than looking at it only in terms of the current sejarah syllabus, which is really lacking, and having these sorts of issues where you have students who, and it's not just national schools, I think, in general, you have students who perhaps are not interacting with, are simply not getting any face time whatsoever with students of other races. And so I think that really is a huge issue and one that we need to talk about. Interesting, though, that history has been mentioned, because that's part of what we want to talk about in terms of what we could be doing better and the different pathways we could take to get there. And so joining us now to talk about how we could be doing better in fostering national identity in schools and the role that history specifically might be playing here, we're joined by Natusha Naidu, president of Imagined Malaysia, which is a non-profit organization dedicated to improving literacy and appreciation for history among young Malaysians. In the meantime, of course, keep your thoughts coming. Are schools doing enough to foster national identity? Natusha, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for the invitation.
I wanted to start with this. How would you describe the national identity of Malaysia? I mean, what does it mean to you?
I think, you know, it's just funny that you're asking me this question, because I was in a very heated debate about this yesterday. And I think that there is no real consensus of what is a national identity. But I think the idea is that we tolerate and respect diversity in Malaysian society. And that's what is the main component of national identity, I guess. Mm-hmm. As well as patriotism, loyalty. I think that's a huge component that's emphasized. Yeah.
And what, if that's how we currently think about it, do you have an alternative you'd like to offer of perhaps how we could be thinking about it differently?
I think through like the work that Imagined Malaysia is doing, what we are striving for is to encourage Malaysians to look into the past, learn lessons about it, incorporate like three components, which I think are really important. And here I'm quoting this really interesting paper by my mentor Sumit Mandal, where we need to like show solidarity that cuts across like our racial, ethnic groups, you know, regardless of class or anything like that. And that's to be truly Malaysian, right? And in order to do this, and we learn from the past that what we really need are three things. One is mutual empathy. Two is a sense of an attitude that is prioritizing inclusion. And the third is believing in the equality of all identities, even if it's something you don't identify or relate to.
So when it comes to how national identity is discussed and instilled in our school system, what have you observed at the moment? How do you see it being implemented?
Okay, I think if you look at the Malaysian Education Blueprint and several other policy papers that this government has released, it's something that has not been really clearly defined. So instead, what has been done in schools is to introduce subjects which the government believes will encourage social cohesion and national unity. So subjects like, so the latest update on the education blueprint only focuses on two subjects, Islamic and moral education, which is a tad strange. There's a lot of potential in the previous subject on civic studies and on citizenship rights. I think that had a lot more potential in because it gave the room to discuss like our institutions and teach our children to and increase political literacy, which is really important for social cohesion. But otherwise, yeah, it's just all these nation building programs, which are like, now we have Keluarga Malaysia. Before this, we had Bangsa Malaysia. We have Wawasan 2020. All this is very much emphasized in classrooms, right? And but there's no real interrogation of how to define national identity beyond the Muhibah spirit, which can be quite problematic. But, you know, it's something we have to dig a lot deeper. Yeah.
One of our messages just now specifically referenced the current syllabus for history, Form 5, actually. And you've been doing a lot of work on history. How do you see the learning of it shaping our sense of national identity?
I think it's quite a norm that history forms the foundation. I mean, the education of history is the foundation for building a national identity, whether it's a post-colonial state or like, you know, first world, second world, third world or whatever, right? And I think in the context of Malaysia, history textbooks are very much focused on the ideas and the view of the victor's history. And that's basically the ruling coalition. To be more direct about it, Barisan Nasional, and its outlook on how society needs to be managed politically, socially, and economically. And this is what forms the crux of the history textbook and also hardens and shapes children's identity, how they relate to the state in particular, in a very, we would say, rather not so organic way. And there's very little room for debate and discussion since it's exam-oriented. So I think that helps a lot with keeping the narrative strict and very coherent. So very rigid, you know.
So what aspects of history would you like to see taught in schools, especially, I mean, in line with this idea of having a deeper sense of identity? And I'm just going to say, based on what you just said, maybe not just what aspects of history you want to see taught, but how would you like to see it taught?
Yeah, I think the question is not so much the content, but it's the way it's being taught that is the problem. Because instead of teaching history as just facts, it needs to be taught as a story and as a debate. You go and study history in, say you do a bachelor's or postgrad, it's a series of questions and ways of arguing what really happened and finding the sources, right? But in a school textbook, you're just learning like one side of the story. So I think that it needs to be a lot more student-centered, not a one-way process, more active learning. There should be more engagement with primary sources, you know, archives and documents. Heck, even analyzing the federal constitution. Why is that not even done at a school level? I don't know. But, you know, these are all really important skills, and they're not just for the sake of learning the past. You actually acquire very important analytical skills that can be useful when a student moves forward for to higher education, right? So I think that pedagogy-wise, we need to like really review how history is taught and definitely allow more debate and having a more inclusive narrative. History, just one last point is that in terms of the content of the textbooks, we really need to sit down, and the committee behind these textbooks need to look at how they are perpetuating very racialized narratives in the textbook and see where are the omissions and try to create more balanced narratives so that students can debate and discuss and therefore like really understand what happened in the past and come out learning some important lessons that could bring more social cohesion and foster unity that they intend to create. Yeah.
We're speaking today with Natusha Naidu, President of Imagined Malaysia, and we're talking about ways in which we could think about inculcating, fostering national identity in schools in a more coherent way, I think, in a warmer way, perhaps. And we'd like to hear from you. Essentially, that's the topic today. And we want to know, are schools doing enough to build national identity, in your opinion? Call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to continue the conversation after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. We're talking today about national identity in our education. This is the last of our month-long deep dive into the National Education Blueprint. National identity was a big part of that. And we want to hear from you. Weigh in by calling 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation now with Natusha Naidu, President of Imagined Malaysia. We're talking about essentially how we could be doing better. Now, Natusha, earlier we spoke with Dr. Mazli Malik, former education minister, who spoke at some length actually about the importance of empathy and of mutual respect and of love actually, and how all this shapes national identity at the school level. You mentioned the same earlier actually, and I wanted to ask how we could be doing that in schools. I think some part of it, at least for me, feels like we're very far away from it at the moment in our current system.
Okay, well, it's good to know that Dr. Mazli agrees with that, but I guess it's a shame that he did not have enough time to incorporate that into our school system. But yes, it is a challenge because it's very abstract, and I think that, but it's not impossible. I do think that, the first and foremost, what can be done is that teachers need to be trained in social and emotional learning. So they call it SEL in short. And this is a great medium to learn to use empathy as a form of communication, regardless of the subject, right? And I think that this is really important because children learn from what they see. And if a teacher does not replicate the kind of behavior that displays empathy, is not non-racist or discriminatory in any way, then how are we supposed to create an environment in our schools that are free from racial discrimination and other forms of discrimination, actually? It's not just racism that's the problem, right? And then I think the second thing is definitely, as I mentioned, community participation. There's a need for the school to interact with the wider community. There should be more project-based learning rather than in the classroom. And these are really just wonderful opportunities for students to truly engage and, actually practice and live out these things. But, it does not require an entire overhaul of the education system or the bureaucracy for that matter. It's just a matter of changing what happens in the classroom. So I think it definitely starts with how we approach teaching these subjects. So that's just the fastest and most immediate way I can think that could happen.
If I take it outside the classroom, we talk about inclusion and inclusiveness. And in this context, I think, of course, it applies to students and the way in which that they feel or are made to feel when they're at schools. But I would imagine that if we're talking about this, it's important to think about it also at different levels, school at teachers, administrators and the like. What needs to be done to make sure inclusivity is being practiced and practiced holistically, in your opinion?
Well, the thing is, it's all trial and error, and we have to learn how to suit it to the Malaysian context. I do think that there's a need to really think about how an equal opportunity policy would work in the education system. We still have issues like race, which are so race-based, quotas, we've got the urban-rural divide, and we're not thinking about how to go beyond that and try to come up with not just equal opportunity, but we need a very equitable environment, right? At all levels, the civil service, who works in the, at the admin level and who works, the diversity of teachers, the diversity of the student body. And these are all really difficult issues to address, especially with how uneven development is in Malaysia. I do think that it's going to be really a long-term issue. And, you know, the education system, the education blueprint pointed out that there are three waves or three phases.
Yeah, there's a lot of terminology.
Yeah, and I don't think they've done that. So, you know, they have said it. Nice, it looks very good on paper, but, you know, and they know what they need to do. They just haven't done it. And that's why we are still in this situation. And COVID has just caused a major regression, you know, for these developments. And now we have to, like, you know, try again. And we need way more political will to actually create this kind of environment. So, yeah.
We have a couple of minutes left. What would you like the education system in Malaysia to look like in, let's say, 20 years' time? What fundamental changes would you like to see?
I think definitely more empathy in the classroom. It needs to be a lot more student-centric to promote leadership among our next generation of leaders. We need teachers who are trained to be engaging and asserting like ground rules for inclusivity and keeping spaces safe in the class, and also just the general school environment. And we need more community involvement so that our education system is a lot more holistic. Yeah.
Natusha, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Natusha Naidu, president of Imagine Malaysia, talking about how national identity can be fostered in schools and the role of history in all of this. Sejarah as a unit comes up an awful lot, so we thought it was time to take a closer look. Now, we have been asking you, are schools doing enough to foster national identity? And if you'd like to weigh in, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have some messages so far. Let's look at this one from Raj, who says, the blueprint should include student exchange programs where students of different races live in each other's homes for a weekend. You know, I think this is really sweet, and it's something that can be done quite simply within a classroom setting. And I think if it's done, again, in a classroom, in a smaller group, then schools would be able to hopefully do all the necessary vetting in order to keep kids safe, to make sure that they feel safe. I like it as an idea. I think that it's a nice one. Please keep those ideas and thoughts coming. We're talking about national identity in the school system. Are they doing enough to foster national identity? Those numbers. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after the 7 o'clock news for your messages and thoughts. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.